We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is currently 7:14 on this Monday morning, July 13th. So we're rapidly plowing through July, approaching the midpoint of the month. Highs around 95. Scattered storms around the city right now, so be aware of that. And officially a 30% chance for showers right now. Temperatures are hovering, if you can hover, at 82 degrees at this time of morning. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us, our friend, a professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, who joins us every day at this time to try to shed some light on the coronavirus and COVID-19. Dr. Fred, you know, I was thinking over the weekend, months ago we were talking about, and I asked you if we opened too quickly, could we wipe out what we accomplished? And I talked about how sad that would be, that so many people sacrifice so much, and then you give whatever gain you have back. Have we done that, or are we back now to almost where we were in March?
Well, I think if you look at the country, we certainly are in terms of the number of cases reported. We're hovering right around 60,000 new cases reported today. We eclipsed that number recently. But that number is the highest number of reported cases per day in the United States, and has been hovering around there for a little over a week now. So I think if you look at the country as a whole, we're definitely seeing a return to several months ago. I think the difference is that in different areas, they're experiencing different types of spikes, if you will. Texas, Florida, California, Arizona are seeing these really incredible spikes. Florida, in fact, over the weekend reported the most number of cases from one state of any state during this pandemic, around 15,000 new cases reported over the weekend and during one of the days. And so these numbers are extremely high and do remind us of what was happening in New Orleans a couple of months ago. Locally, we continue to see increased number of cases as well, and we're also seeing more hospitalizations currently, more hospitalized patients than at any time since mid-May. So locally and nationally, increasing number of cases and hospitalizations, and now we're hearing what one area or statistic, if you will, that had not been increasing, which was the number of deaths. But now, if you look at the data for the country, deaths have increased by nearly 20% in recent weeks. And it just tells us what we've discussed several times over the course of the last several months, which is that the last indicator in the data is the deaths. First, we have people who get infected, then they develop symptoms. The symptoms have them see a healthcare provider for testing. Testing confirms an infection. Most people will do well, but there will be some people who are going to require hospitalization. And then the last lagging indicator is deaths. And we're now seeing an increase in deaths if we just look at the country as a whole. And we need to really monitor our data closely here in Louisiana, particularly since the interventions that were put in place over the weekend by our governor really won't have effects that will be palpable until a couple of weeks from now. Again, we're seeing the effects of what was going on here 2 weeks ago. And so important time for the country, important time for us locally, as we really try to mitigate what has been, at least since mid-June locally, an increase in the number of cases and certainly hospitalizations as well.
When it comes to the rate of infection is way up, right? But the average daily death is way down. For people that are getting hung up on that and thinking that it's not serious, explain the timing of all of that, if you will, the lag time, and how, you know what I'm asking you, Doc.
Yeah, sure. No, I think it's important that, just as you mentioned, we can see the cases are going up every day. I mean, the numbers tell us that every day around noon when they're released for our state, that our numbers are going up and our hospital rates are going up. And it typically takes about 3 to 5 weeks from the time someone gets infected to the time they pass away, if they're going to be in that smaller group of people who are going to suffer from severe complications of COVID-19. So it's a lagging indicator, usually 3 to 5 weeks after the infection has been acquired. So we would expect around this time, with the increasing number of cases that were beginning to be noted in mid-June, after we move, moving into phase two, that as a lagging indicator, deaths will likely begin to be increasingly reported locally, just as they have been nationally. Again, 20% increase in COVID-19 deaths in the United States as a whole. So I think we can anticipate that we may see an increase in the number of our deaths as well. The one issue, one of the issues, though, that needs to be taken into account is that about a third of our cases are being reported in people who are younger than 30 years of age. And we know that those individuals are less likely to develop the severe complications of COVID-19, including death. And I think that's also impacted the number of deaths that have been reported. But we have to remember that those young people oftentimes live with vulnerable people, people who are elderly, people who have underlying medical conditions, and we don't want that to spill over into that patient population where we know the complication rate is going to be higher.
All right, taking a break, coming back, 504-260-1870. If you want to ask a question of Dr. Fred Lopez about coronavirus, I will pass it along. It is 720 now, time for traffic on WWL. 724, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Text comes in, says, I'm an MD for the doc. Can you comment on decreased rates of emergency room visits for MI, whatever that is, strokes compared to historical numbers, i.e. people are dying at home from these, and fewer ICU beds for non-COVID patients who need them and thus are dying without access? These patients aren't counted as COVID deaths. And I know there is evidence that people are dying at home because they're not going to the doctor for things that they could because they're afraid they're going to die of COVID.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think lost in the whole COVID-19 pandemic and our focus on COVID-19 is that for many people with other chronic medical conditions, they've avoided healthcare for fear of acquiring COVID-19 in hospitals or clinics. And as a result of neglecting their own healthcare for their other chronic medical conditions, we've seen increases in the expected number of deaths, excluding COVID and including COVID, because of the fact that people have been worried about intersecting with healthcare where they might encounter COVID-19 and get infected. In addition to whatever complications they're having from their chronic medical condition. So this data has recently been reported the deaths anticipated over this period of time in other years was much less. And some of it is COVID that has increased the number of deaths, but it is clear that some of the deaths that are being reported, even if they're not attributable to COVID-19, are attributable to the fear that people have of going to emergency departments and being seen in departments where a large number of COVID-19 patients are also being seen. And as a result, people are succumbing to complications of their chronic medical conditions that At other times, they would have presented earlier for evaluation and management. So that's a very important point, and I appreciate the listener bringing that to our attention, because it is clear that people are avoiding the healthcare system for fear of acquiring COVID-19, and as a result, chronic medical conditions are exacerbating.
All right, somebody texted in here and said, what about inhaled steroids, and could the lower hospitalization rate be because remdesivir is keeping people out of the hospital?
So to touch on the steroids that are being touted for decreasing mortality rates and improving survival are intravenous or oral steroids. The studies were actually done with primarily intravenous steroids, and those are for hospitalized patients, and they have reported survival benefits with the use of those steroids. Not inhaled, although it may be evaluated as part of our armamentarium, but so far it's really been intravenous and or oral that are being used for treatment of patients with COVID-19 with respects to steroids. The remdesivir treatment option, which is one that has already shown in a randomized controlled trial that's been reported and published, has shown a decrease in the recovery time of individuals from around 15 days to 11 days. To date, it has not shown a survival benefit, although some late-phase trials that were released by the company late last week seem to indicate that there might be some survival benefits as well. So we'll hear, hopefully, more about those reports in the near future, because they have not been published and reviewed yet. But if, in fact, it's showing both a decrease in the recovery time as well as an improvement in survival, the demand for remdesivir is clearly going to increase. It's just scarce right now because there's only so much available by the company. The company has made it available to the United States and elsewhere, but it's in great demand, particularly as we're seeing these spikes across the country. But remdesivir to date has really been used for treatment of patients hospitalized with COVID-19, typically those who have more severe presentations. So not a preventative treatment, right now being used as treatment for active infection. I think we're going to hear more about remdesivir, and we're going to be hearing more, hopefully, about other therapeutics that will prove themselves to be helpful when it comes to survival and recovery.
Thank you, as always, Dr. Fred Lopez. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.